Going. Reading from Matthew 26 and verse 36. I'm so pleased we sang that song this morning about I stand amazed in the presence. The second verse really looks at the Garden of Gethsemane. We're going to read the account of that now in Matthew chapter 26, verse 36. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me. And he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. And he came to the disciples and he found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, so you men could not keep watch with me for 1 hour. Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again a second time and prayed, saying, my Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done. Again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them again and went away and prayed a third time, saying the same thing once more. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. Behold, the one who betrays me is at hand. And I want to speak this morning, really, on a couple of things that occur in this passage. Twice, in fact, it comes up in verse 38, where Jesus says to his disciples, keep watch with me. Keep watch with me. Jesus came to the Garden of Gethsemane knowing that his end was near. And the grief in his heart, I don't think we can begin to imagine it, friends. Because he's going to be separated from his Father for the first time ever, bearing the sin of the world. And he had an inclination of this, of course, and know what was going to happen. And Jesus wanted his disciples to stand with him, to be with him at this really important time. He says, stay here, stand, keep watch with me. Keep watch with me. That was Jesus' command to his disciples. It's the same command today, friends. Jesus is looking for disciples who will keep watch with him. He wants you and I to keep watch with him. And I think it's absolutely astounding and amazing what Jesus did then in verse 38. He came and he shared the deepest thoughts of his heart, his deepest feelings. Look what he says in verse 38 to his disciples. My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. And he shares that with his disciples. What a thing to share. Now, if you're anything like me, or I should say an English person, we tend to keep our feelings to ourselves. We don't want to share anything. We'll keep it to ourselves. We'll bear this ourselves. But Jesus wanted to share the deep grief in his heart with his disciples. He wanted to share that. Now, why did he want to do that? Not just for some information. He wanted his disciples to stand with him at this critical time in his life, at the critical time in human history. He wanted those who would stand with him. And you know what? Jesus is still looking for that today. He is still looking for disciples who would stand with him. Watch with me. That's what he's saying even today to you and I and to his disciples. He's still looking for that. Well, what does that word mean, to watch with me? You might have a different translation in your version. It might be alert, to be vigilant. That's what it means, really, to be vigilant, to be watching vigilantly, to be alert. The same word occurs in previous two passages in Matthew 25, verse 13. If you go back a little bit, you'll see it there. Be on the alert, therefore you do not know the day or the hour. And then back in Matthew 24, in verse 42 again, therefore be on the alert, be watching, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. In the context there, we see it's very much to do with the second coming. Jesus is wanting us to be watchful, because his coming is near. He's wanting us to be watchful. And we'll look at some of the reasons why that is so important in a second. But at the heart of being watchful really is being awake, with eyes that are open And of course, the disciples here were the opposite. Their eyes were heavy, it says. And we'll talk a bit more about that later. Their eyes were heavy and they were sleeping. They were not awake. And the first thing that needs to happen, friends, if you and I are going to keep watch with the Lord Jesus, is that we need to be awake. We need to be awake. There's much in the New Testament about the church sleeping. We can read it in Matthew 3, verse 2 and 3. That I forget which church that was. But he says to the church, wake up and strengthen the things that remain. So I feel that the Lord wants to say that today to his church. Wake up. Look around you and see what's happening. Wake up and strengthen what remains. Much of us, much of the church, and we include ourselves in that, much of us are sleeping. We're awake. We're not awake, rather, we're asleep. And then in Romans 13, verse 11, we read another passage. Again to believers. We won't look at it for the sake of time. Saying to wake up from your slumber. So the first part of being watchful is to be awake. Have eyes that are open. So that we can be vigilant. But you know, even if we are awake. And if you've been born again, friends, you have no excuse. You are awake to what God, who God is, what he's done. What he's intending to do. There's no excuse. But so often as believers, our eyes might be open, but we're not looking in the right place. We're looking in the wrong place. And that's so critical. We need to know where to be looking. A bit more on that a little bit later. So friends, if we are to keep watch with the Lord Jesus, we must not allow our eyes to grow heavy. We must not allow our eyes to grow heavy. And of course, Jesus was talking initially, obviously, about the physical threat here. You see, Jesus knew that the enemy was seeking to bring a premature end to Jesus. He did it with King Herod. He wanted to stop Jesus getting to that cross. He didn't understand everything, I suspect, the enemy, but he knew that he had to try and cut short the life of Jesus. And here again, I'm absolutely convinced the enemy would seek to bring a premature end to Jesus before he could fulfill the will of his Father. And therefore Jesus could see something of this. You see, watching with Jesus is more than just physically watching, friends. It is watching in the Spirit. It is watching what he is doing. What is God allowing? What is God doing? What is the enemy doing? A bit more on that in a second. You see, and the disciples, God wanted the disciples, the Lord Jesus wanted his disciples to stand with him and to keep watch in prayer. And of course, the two are absolutely linked. You can't separate them. A bit more of that in a second again. So why are we to watch with the Lord Jesus? Why does he command that? Why did he command that with his disciples? Why does he command it today for you and I? Several things. Let's just go through a list of them. First of all, he wants us to stand with him, to be a part of his purposes in this day. Just as the disciples, he wanted them to be with him in this critical time in his life, in the critical time in human history when the Lord Jesus was going to go to the cross and die for your sins and my sins. He wanted the disciples to stand with him. He does the same today, friends. We're in a critical time in our nation. He wants believers, disciples, to stand with him, to watch with him in this critical time, to be a part of his purposes. You cannot be a part of God's purposes if your eyes are heavy, if you're not watching with him. It's impossible. Your vision will be elsewhere. We need to watch with him so that we can see what God is doing and what he is allowing. What is God doing and what is allowing? Jesus said this in John 5, verse 19. I'll just read this to you. I'm going to turn this. We don't want to. It's very quick. Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. Jesus was watching continually with his Father. He wasn't randomly going off and doing things. He was in perfect communion with his Father, and he was watching and praying. And as he saw what God was doing, he could step into that and work with his Father. Friends, it's no different today. We are to be watching so that we can see what is God doing, what is he allowing? What does he want us, how does he want us to be involved in it? That's why we need to watch with him. We need to watch in order that we can pray, of course, and that's fundamental to this passage, isn't it? You can't separate the two. In fact, the two are really interdependent, can I say? Interdependent. We are watching so that we can pray, but in the praying, we are watching. It's almost like a cycle, circle. You can't stop them. You can't separate them, really. If we are watching and not praying, I'll guarantee you'll soon lose your vigilance. Because it's in the praying that we maintain a vigilance. We keep watching. If we are praying and not watching, what happens is we miss the mark. And we pray for things that are not on God's heart. And I've been in prayer meetings before where we've been praying for things. Yes, they sound great to the flesh, but it's not on God's heart. So the two are interdependent, friends. Interdependent. I've got a little verse written down here, so I'll read this. I can't know exactly what it is, but Ephesians 6. With all prayer and petition, this is verse 18 of Ephesians 6, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, really with Jesus. Pray in the Spirit, okay, with the Spirit leading us and directing us. And with this in view, be on the alert, the same word, be watching. Be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf. Isn't that marvellous? Pray, watch, pray. Pray at all times. Be alert. And then keep praying. If we break the chain at all, then we will stop watching. We have to keep praying as we are watching. And I'll just give you a short testimony from our prayer meeting on Friday. Here in Bethel. We were praying about December the 1st. And you know, we wanted to get in there and pray, Lord, rain down fire from heaven upon this gay pride thing. And as much as we wanted to pray that, the Lord led us in a different way. Because as we were watching in our praying, the Lord led us. And he shared with us something of the grief in his heart regarding the state of the church. Regarding the state of his church. And we couldn't get much further than really just saying sorry to the Lord. For the state of the church that has allowed these things to happen. Because we're not a praying church in the nation. We're not a watching church. And therefore these things have come in. So you see how it would be totally wrong just to go off and just start charging down that path and praying for God's judgment to fall. There's a time to pray for that, of course, if he leads us. But we need to be watching and praying and watching. And as we do that, the Lord's able to lead us. And we can stand with him. And you see, the Lord is looking for those who he can share his heart with. Just as he wanted his disciples to receive something of that grief that he had. You see, the disciples heard from the lips of Jesus, but they never entered into the grief. They weren't able, in a sense, because they didn't have the Spirit. But they didn't enter in because they didn't start praying. If the disciples had started praying when Jesus had shared with them of the deep grief in his heart, they would have experienced something of the real hurt in the heart of the Lord Jesus and in God the Father. You see, it isn't until we start praying and watching that we can really enter into something of the heart of God. It's impossible otherwise. We'll just have a bit of a head knowledge. We need to enter in prayer. Well, next, we need to be watching so that we can know what the enemy is doing. Now, friends, let's get this right. The enemy is on the leash of God. He's only allowed to do what God allows him to do. But the more darkness and evil there is, the more he's allowed to do. But we need to be alert to what the enemy is doing. And where the enemy is at work. In Gethsemane, Jesus wanted his disciples to stand with him, to watch and pray, because there was an enemy at work. This wasn't just the Pharisees, friends. This wasn't just the Romans. There was an enemy seeking to bring a premature end to the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he wanted his disciples to see this. to stand with him. And do you know what? As we stand with the Lord Jesus, we watch and pray with him, the Lord can show us things. We can see, we can be sensitive to these things. As we are awake and alert, we can see some of the things that the enemy is up to, even in our own land. And there are various passages we could look at. But we need to see where the battle is raging, don't we? If we don't see where the battle is raging, we're probably fighting in the wrong place in our praying. We need to see where the battle is raging in our own lives, over our own families, our nation, our church, over Israel. These things are so important. I've got two passages written down there. We won't turn to them for the sake of time. 2 Samuel 5 verse 17. It says, David heard that the Philistines were attacking and coming in. Now, it's not the sense of watching, but it's a spiritual sense I get here. That he heard in his spirit, can I say. He heard that the Philistines were attacking. What did he do? He went straight to prayer. Sought the Lord. Lord, what do you want us to do? And it was in the seeking of the Lord that the Lord gave him a strategy that was able to defeat the Philistines. Nehemiah 6 verse 12. And I've forgotten what that says. I will turn to that. Nehemiah 6 verse 12. Says this. Then I perceived. Oh yes, this is where again the enemies were coming in to attack. What Nehemiah and the exiles were doing. And wanted to stop the work of building of God's work. And of course they were sending threats. They were trying to frighten him. Trying to do everything they could to stop him working. But then he says this. Then I perceived that surely God had not sent them. We need to be a perceptive people, friends, in this day, don't we? And that's only as we watch with the Lord Jesus. As we watch and pray. We can be a perceptive people. See, we can see beyond the physical, beyond the natural. We can see what's happening in the heavenly realms. The Lord can show us these things, friends. And we need to see them, of course. We need to see them. And we need to be watching with the Lord Jesus in this. It's so easy to get this wrong. And many have in the church. Because we start seeing demonic activity behind everything. But we need to be careful, friends, don't we? We need to be watching with the Lord Jesus. Not separate to him. Because when we watch separately to the Lord Jesus and start doing things on our own, watching, if you like, on our own, we see demonic activity everywhere. When really, it's just the flesh. It's just the self-life that needs to be dealt with. So we need to be careful as we watch. Excuse me. Moving on. We need to watch and go back to the passage in Matthew 26. Jesus gives a reason in verse 41. Another reason why we need to keep watching and praying. And the two here are perhaps emphasized by the Lord Jesus. Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. We need to keep watching our own lives, friends. We watch our own lives. And there's a couple of verses in Proverbs, actually, that are quite interesting. I won't turn to them. Proverbs 4, you can have a look at them yourself. Proverbs 4, I think, verse 23 and 20-something else. I can't read my writing. Watch your hearts. And then later on, watch the paths of your feet. Watch, friends. Just watch your own life. But watch them with the Lord Jesus. Allow him to show you what paths are not good for you. And any path that you're on is not right. Be watching. Be sensitive. Be awake. Be alert to what the Holy Spirit might show you about the way you are walking, what you are doing. That's part of watching with the Lord Jesus. We watch our own lives. Because if we don't watch our own lives and we start going off track, then that will render us totally useless to God. I've got one or two other things I'll just mention to you briefly. Jeremiah 6 verse 17, the Old Testament talks lots about watchmen. Go and do a Bible study on it. Watchmen over Jerusalem. And it was often the watchmen were the ones that sounded the warning. You see, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can see things happening before the world if we're in prayer about it and we're watching with him. And we can give warning. We can give warning to our brothers and sisters. others as well if necessary. We can give warning. And then we're to be watching because of his return. Because the Lord Jesus wants a bride that is ready for his return. Well, I've still got other things to say, so we're going to move on. Briefly, because I want to really look at this, that phrase, their eyes were heavy. But before we get to that, let's just look quickly at how we are to be watching. I mentioned prayer. Without prayer, we cannot watch. We cannot be watching with the Lord Jesus without prayer. And we cannot keep alert and watchful unless we are praying. The two are interdependent, I've said that. But then the other thing we need is obviously the Word of God. You cannot watch without God's Word. It's impossible. We need to be regularly in God's Word, because that keeps us, in a sense, sensitive to the Lord. And there's a verse in Daniel 9, verse 2, which again, we're not going to turn to. But it's Daniel. And he said, I saw in the Word of God, when he was really looking at, it was at the end of the 70 years of the exile, when the Jews were going to go back. Jeremiah prophesied, this exile will last 70 years and I'll take them back. And Daniel was watching. Where was he watching? Not on the internet. Not in the latest book. He was watching in the Word. He was watching in the Word. And he saw that God was about to fulfill something. But God, as always, looks for people to stand with him. To stand with him to watch and pray and to bring about his purposes. And Daniel saw this. What did he do? Throw a party. Let's have a great time. The Jews are going back. No. That wouldn't have achieved anything. He got on his knees. He sought the Lord. He watched in his praying and he saw that he had to repent on behalf of the people of Israel. He was sensitive to the Lord and he brought that repentance. And God brought about that wonderful exile, that return of the exile, return of the Jews back to Jerusalem. Because Daniel was watching. He was watching in the Word. Friends, if you're not in the Word, you will miss things. We're living in exciting times in one sense. You know, much is happening in the world. The end is coming near, as prophecies in Scripture will tell us. But we won't see them if we're not in the Word. We need to be in the Word, friends. But we need to be in the Word just to see what God is doing. Okay, moving on. I just want to look at this passage now. Their eyes were heavy. That's verse 41, I think, isn't it? No, 43. Again he came and he found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. That literally means they were burdened. They were pressed down. And there's a sense here that this doesn't just mean our natural eyes, friend. This is the eyes of our heart. Our hearts can be burdened. They can be weighed down. They can be heavy, and that will stop us watching with the Lord. And there's a very interesting passage. Again, it's interesting as well. It's in the context of the end times. In Luke 21. Luke 21. So I'm going to read this now. We're going to go there and probably stay there for the last part of this. Luke 21. Again, it's quite a well-known passage. Verse 34 of Luke 21. Be on guard. The exact same word. Be watching. Watch. Be vigilant. Be on guard. So that your hearts will not be weighted down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the worries of life, and that day will not come on you suddenly like a trap. Caught unawares. Caught unprepared. How sad that would be when the Lord Jesus comes back and we're not ready. Because we're involved in so many other things instead of doing the things he wants us to be doing. But I want to look at those three things there that can cause the weighting down of the heart. That can cause our eyes to be heavy. There are three things mentioned here. How are our eyes getting heavy? Or can get heavy? Let's have a look. The first thing is dissipation. In the good old King James, it's surfeiting. Not surfing. Surfeiting. Okay, not a word used much these days, but it means literally this: giddiness or headache caused by an excess. Normally alcohol, but really I think it's more than that. It's an excess. When we're doing anything apart from what God has given us to do to excess, then there's a danger. There are many good things God has given us to enjoy, friends. Some of us even enjoy our work, our hobbies, our free time, our sport, our food, our drink. Lots of good things God has given us. But if we do them to excess, then our hearts can get heavy. Our eyes can get heavy and we are weighted down. And we cannot watch, we cannot pray, we cannot do the things God is wanting us to do and stand with Him. There's a very interesting verse in Proverbs 25 verse 16. I came across the other day actually. One of the things you can easily miss. I'll read it to you. Proverbs 25 verse 6. And it says this. No, it's not even that verse. I'll have to try and remember. Oh, verse 16. There we go. Have you found honey? Have you found honey? Well, I hope so. You have found some honey in your life. Eat only what you need. Eat only what you need, that you not have it in excess and vomit it. Isn't that a wise saying? Anything in excess can be bad for you, friends. Even if it's good in that right measure. And it's the same spiritually. You can be spiritually unhealthy, sick, if you're doing things to excess that you should not be doing to excess. And this is where we need regularly to come before the Lord on our own time and say, Lord, are there things in my life that I've got out of proportion? Are there things in my life that are too high a priority, that I'm giving too much time to? And we need to be prepared to do that. So the two key things we need to do, we need to know God's limit. And we need to know what are the right priorities in our lives. And to do that, we need to be absolutely open to the Lord. You cannot hold on to something and say, well, the Lord's not going to touch this because I value this too much. This is my corner. This is my part of my life. And I'm not giving this to anybody. We need to lay everything before Him, friends. As much as you might enjoy something that's very good in parts, if you're doing it to excess, then it will lead to this dissipation. Your heart will be weighed down. And you will not be as useful to the Lord as He wants you to be. So we need to learn to inquire of the Lord. To be sensitive to His checks. And the liberty that He gives us as well. And of course, at the extreme, excess can lead to idolatry. Excess can lead to idolatry, friends. Will we start living for something before living for God? Well, that's that first thing. That's how our hearts can be weighed on. The second thing is drunkenness, intoxication. Now, we know naturally that's a sin. We are told not to get drunk on wine. The Bible says it very clearly. Do not get drunk on wine. But spiritually, friends, there are many things that we can imbibe in this world that can make our senses dull, that can dull our spiritual senses, that can weigh our hearts down, that can make our eyes heavy and stop us watching and praying. And we need to be careful. We need to be careful. Let's don't be naive and think that we're above that. Because I've been a Christian for so long, that's not... Friends, you are an open goal for the enemy if you think that. We are all prone, potentially, to this. We need to be careful. We need to be careful. You see, the enemy, in 2 Corinthians 11 verse 14 says this, the enemy disguises himself as an angel of light. He doesn't come full front and say, here I am, and I'm going to deceive you, and I'm going to get you. Because that wouldn't happen, of course. He is very clever. Far cleverer than you or I. Far cleverer than you or I. Far stronger than you or I. It's only with the help of God the Holy Spirit that we are able to stand and all that He's done for us. But if we are naive and think that we can go on imbibing certain things from the world and be untouched, you are deceiving yourselves. And I would be deceiving myself if I thought that. We cannot just imbibe things from the world and think we're going to escape untouched. The enemy knows our weaknesses. He knows how to get a hold of me, and he knows how to get a hold of you, friends. He knows where your weakness is. He knows because he is very clever and he is cunning. And he knows what disguise to use to get a hold of you and me. Therefore, friends, let's be careful. Let's be sensitive. Let's be watching. Let's be praying. Let's be careful not to imbibe things in the world to such an extent. Of course, we're in the world. We can't escape it. But if we put ourselves deliberately in harm's way, we're asking for trouble. And this is where, again, we need to be totally submitted to the Lord. And we again need to lay everything before Him. Say, Lord, am I taking anything from the world in this that is affecting me spiritually? If you won't do that, friends, because you like doing something too much, whatever it is, then I'm afraid the Lord can't do anything for you. You'll continue in blindness, making no progress in the kingdom of God. We need to be honest with the Lord, lay everything before Him and say, Lord, is there anything here? Anything in this that I'm doing? I'm listening, I'm watching, whatever. But it's just going to affect me. That's going to make me spiritually drunk. Affecting my spiritual senses. We need to be careful, friends. Very careful. And then finally, the worries or the cares of life. We all have them, don't we? Anybody that comes up to me and says, I don't have any cares or worries, well, I think I probably wouldn't believe you. We all have cares. We all have things that we are caring about and can be tending to worry about them. Financial cares. I've got three F's here. Financial cares. Family cares. Future cares. What about the future? Particularly for you youngsters. What about the future? Job. Family. Marriage. These things. We can have. They can be so prominent in our thinking. To such an extent, they weigh us down. They stop us being fruitful. They stop us watching and praying. We must not let them weigh us down, weighing our hearts down. So we can't escape the cares in this, but the key is, how do we deal with them? That's what we need to learn. We need to know how to learn to deal with these cares that will force themselves upon us because of circumstances. How do we deal with them? 1 Peter 5 verse 7. Cast all. Just read it. Cast all. I will read it. I'll get it right. So I will cast all your cares on Him and all your worries on Him, all your anxieties on Him. But let's read. I want to read a couple of other verses around that as well. 1 Peter 5 and verse 6 and 7. Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. Isn't that wonderful? He cares for you. He cares deeply for you, friends. He cares far more than you could ever imagine. And therefore He wants you to give Him your burdens. He wants you to give them to Him, to cast them onto Him. And we can find that difficult sometimes, can't we? And we need to go on doing it. Keep on doing it. We need to keep giving Him our burdens. But notice in verse 6, before this, it's all one sentence actually. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the right time. You see, there's a little bit of humility needed. We men in particular struggle with this. We like to sort of carry our burdens. And it's a badge of honor, isn't it? You know, that I'm able to bear up under this. Sometimes, well, we always rather, not sometimes, we need to give Him those burdens. Not carry them around ourselves and be weighted down. And then another verse here in Matthew 6, verse 31 and verse 30. Well, the context there in Matthew 6 is our needs. God knows our needs. And he says to his disciples, I'll read that again, it's a well-known verse, Matthew 6:33, it's a good one to learn. Well, read from verse 31. Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first. Seek first, friends, his kingdom. And his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. It does, doesn't it? Each day has enough trouble of its own. And by worrying about anything, you can't change a single thing. But we find that hard to take on board sometimes. But you see, if we seek first God's kingdom, if we put him first, if we seek his righteousness, God will enable us to deal with these things, to have the victory over them. So not be weighted down by them, but to have the victory that will give glory to God. Not to you because you've been strong enough to bear them, but to God because he's given you the victory in them. That's what the Lord wants, friends. And as we seek him first and seek his kingdom, we will have the victory. And he will gain all the glory. He will gain all the glory. So friends, I'll leave us all with the question. Will you watch with the Lord Jesus in these last days? Will you watch with him? Because the Lord is looking for disciples who he can share. His heart is grief. God's heart is grieving over much that he sees in our nation, over what he sees in the church. He's grieving. And he wants us to share that with him so that we can then pray and watch and pray and go on watching. Keep on watching and praying. So friends, can I encourage you in your own times, learn to do this. Come and join us in the prayer meetings, because that's a great time to learn these things. Watching and praying. Keep in the word so you can keep watching. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you that you are a God who shares his heart with his people. And we thank you that we have a privilege here that is inestimable in its worth. That we can watch with you and pray and seek you. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful, wonderful privilege that's ours as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask you, help us not to neglect this. Help us to grow in this, to learn how to watch and pray. In all these things, all these areas that we've been touching on, Lord, please help us. And where there are things that are weighing us down, oh Father, help us to be absolutely honest and open and submitted to you, that you might show us where things need changing in our lives. Oh, help us not to resist you in this. Lord, life is too short. Help us, Father, to quickly put things aside where they need to be put aside, or to not do things to the excess that we're doing even. Lord, where our lives need rebalancing, help us to be honest about that. Oh, Father, help us, we pray, that we might be not like the disciples whose eyes were heavy and could not really share with you as you wanted. We want to be a people that shares with our God and stands with you in this day, because we want your purposes furthered in our nation. We want you to be exalted again. We want there to be something of a reviving of your church. Oh, Father, help us in this day, we pray. Amen.